Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome in, JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Jaguars Thursday, your calls coming up, 355-NFL-1. Plenty to get to. The Jags were busy in the contract room yesterday. Handful of signings.
But one of them I'm very excited about.
Okay, I know you. I know where you're going to go with that. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that coming up. They passed on the Kelvin Beachum option. We flirted with that a moment ago. We'll get to that coming up. And we'll go around the National Football League. You know, we'll get to that coming up. Let's start with that. Kelvin Beachum. No option. It was, what, four additional years. And the Jaguars did not take the option by the deadline of midnight. What was that, last night?
Well, I think what that tells you is they looked at the contract and the guaranteed money that was there. And Jeff's right, we don't know exactly what it was, but it was at least, I guarantee you, the guarantee was for next year's salary at least, which is with the bonus money and the salary is going to be about $10 million or so, maybe a little bit more. And they probably looked at it and said, with the market that's going to be out there, we'll roll the dice and we think we can either get him back at a cheaper rate or somebody else at the caliber of Kelvin Beachum. Kelvin Beachum is a better pass blocker than run blocker. And one of the things that if you came in here and just evaluated the film from with no history or anything else, what you would see is a guy who really did not struggled in the run game. Now, he had the knee. What would concern me if I was coming in is it didn't get better throughout the year. In fact, even pass blocking, Jeff, some of his worst games were late in the year. Mm-hmm. And your expectation would be is that knee is going to get better as the year goes on and it's going to improve. And you didn't see that. Now, do I think Kelvin Beachum is a good pass blocker? Yes. If you look what he's done at times last year, if you look at his history at the Pittsburgh Steelers, he is a good pass blocker. I think it says a couple things. One, the market. And two, I think this team wants to run the ball more. And he did not have a good year run blocking. And they want to – I think that's going to be – it's who Nathaniel Hackett is. It's who Doug Marrone is. It's who Tom Coughlin is. This is going to be a running – they're going to try to establish the run. And I believe they looked at the contract and looked at the production in that area of Kelvin Beachum's game and said, you know what, we either can get him cheaper or we can do better.
Because you're trying to evaluate the market.
That's right.
You know, and the market is going to look at Kelvin Beachum's film and say, okay, how did he do last year? And we saw, like, the last 3 weeks, you know, missing a lot of practices, was struggling to be out there on the field a couple times, noticeably limping during the game. Yeah. And, look, you know, the other scouts and general managers around the National Football League are going to see that and be a little cautious because you're going to get paid based on what they grade, which is film. And, look, I felt confident that they would do it just because, you know, you assume, and it's a big assumption, you assume that he's going to be better in 2017 than he was in 2016 from a health standpoint. And if you evaluate Kelvin Beachum, when he was in Pittsburgh, he was a decent, he was a good run blocker. You know, he's got low center of gravity.
Above average.
Powerful, yeah, he's above average run blocker. And probably above average pass protector when he's completely healthy, maybe even a little better than
that. He's a better pass blocker than run blocker.
So I get it. I mean, it's you know, and as I mentioned earlier, look, we don't know what the details of the contract are. You know, the signing bonuses, the guarantees going forward if they pick up this option. You know, so, you know, that's the one thing, you know, when we try to forecast what's going to happen from a player standpoint, look, you don't want to go into the season this year or the offseason and free agency without a left tackle. And so you thought that was like kind of like a no-brainer, you know, get him better, get him more healthy, and rock and roll. But, you know, after having seen what's happened around with Brandon Albert, there's also some debate with the
Ryan Clady New York.
With the Jets, you know, he's not going to be back, you know. So all of a sudden now you're looking at a left tackle market that, you know, is a little softer than probably what it's been in past years.
What do you make of, I think, Whitworth in Cincinnati? He's a little old. Right?
He is not a little old. He's on the back.
But he could be coming free. Would you go that old?
Last few holes of his career.
He doesn't move very well in run block.
No, he's not. He's a position block guy. I thought the other thing that was interesting to me about the Calvin Beecham situation is, who was his position coach last year?
Doug Marrone.
Head coach now.
That's right.
Does that tell us something, that Doug Marrone was not going in there fighting? Typically, I mean, your position coach knows you best.
I mean, maybe he was.
Well, it's a question to ask is, you know, how strong did Doug Marrone weigh into this equation of him saying, I want this guy. I know this guy. Because
there's different voices
that's
now.
That's what happens.
You got a lot of opinions that's to factor into the decision-making process now.
Mm-hmm. You would think that would be a loud voice. If I'm Tom Coughlin coming in from the outside after evaluating film, part of the evaluation would be talking to the position coach who happens to be my head coach now. And what he thought, I would think, would weigh heavily or at least have an impact on what we were going to do. And it would be interesting to know.
We'll never know.
Yeah. Does this send a message to what the feeling is as far as the head coach who was Kelvin's position coach?
I think it's pretty simple. Tom Coughlin comes in, Dave Caldwell, Doug Marrone, they all look at it, and Tom Coughlin says, okay, show me. Show me proof.
Prove it.
Give me evidence.
But I think part of that conversation is show me proof, give me evidence, and sell me why we should pay this.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the proof wasn't seen and the selling wasn't very good.
Or they have something else in mind already with representation or, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe they have something in the hopper already.
Here's a question.
With who? With him?
With him.
Well, no, because if he had something in the hopper with him, you would announce, when you didn't pick up the option, you'd announce a new deal.
Right away.
Typically, that's what happens.
Okay, well,
I'm not saying something.
We still have an exclusive window.
Yeah, right? I'm not saying something can't happen down the road, but I don't think there's something in the hopper. They might be discussing something, but I don't think there's a
imminent. There's nothing imminent.
Right.
Now, the question I have for you guys is, you know, with Luke Jokel coming back from a knee injury,
significant.
Significant. Very good run blocking left tackle. Market's going to be soft for him coming back from a knee. Does that now become a factor, or is he a possibility of returning to play left tackle?
Wouldn't that be the same thing as Kelvin coming off the knee and having to prove it?
Well, I don't know.
Through?
I mean, it's an interesting conversation. Yes.
Right.
I mean, yes.
You know? So why would you do that?
I don't know.
When you can go get a healthy guy in free agency.
Well, there's no guarantee you're going to get another guy.
I'm just saying that.
I would sign Luke Jokel as a guy.
As an offensive lineman.
As an offensive lineman. I would not sign Luke Jokel saying, I got my left tackle.
No.
No. Not even close.
But have him in camp and see what happens.
I'll say this. By making this move, unless they have something in, you know, lined up with Kelvin, which I think that would have already been announced if they did, by not picking up his option, what you have done effectively is created another issue and another need on this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Here's the reality.
Even more focused on an offensive line.
At the level that he played at last year, which, look, we all kind of graded him with the understanding, look, we know what's going on. He's got issues with his knee. So we never criticized Kelvin Beecham because we've been through ACLs before. You know, so I don't want to say we handled his production with kids, but with an understanding.
Are you saying we graded him on a curve?
Yeah, we probably did. And rightfully so, because, you know, he was dealing with coming back from pretty significant knee injury. So with that being said, you know, do you all of a sudden say, look, is it really that big of a hole? Because if you evaluated without a curve,
well,
the level of play that he had, is it really that big of a hole that you can't fill?
This is why it's a hole, Jeff. Who on the roster is better than Kelvin Beecham right now?
At left tackle.
Well, nobody.
Okay, so now you have a hole.
Yeah, but
so you got
but
worse.
You got a market.
Okay, but you got worse at that position by not.
Yeah, for a very short period of time.
Possibly. I'm just saying the market is. It's not like there's a ton of depth out there. You're assuming you can get one of those guys.
Well, there's because you got the money to do it.
Well, now are you going to pay drastically more then you'd have paid Kelvin Beachum.
Well, you have to pay $1 more than somebody else.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That, I mean, it's a risk is my only point.
Absolutely.
It's
always a risk.
There's a major risk.
It was a risk with Beachum, too. Maybe the knee's not ready. You know, you never know. If you take that deal, then that's a four-year deal, I mean, essentially, you know?
If
the knee's not right, you got him for 4 years.
Well, not only that, I'm with Jeff on the fact that we don't know the guaranteed money. I would not have given Beachum how many years are you going to guarantee? It depends how much money's out there.
Right.
What would concern me if I came in from the outside is I didn't see progress in the knee over the year.
Mm-hmm.
That translated into the play.
Right.
Jeff, you and I talked about it. We had both had the injury, both had similar experiences, different timelines.
But we got better.
But we saw it getting better throughout the year. I saw mine get stronger and better and better and better the more I played.
Same with mine.
Same with you. I don't think you can say that about Kelvin.
No.
And that would be a concern, and I understand that.
Let's come back and discuss some of the signings for the Jags the last day or so. Renew your season tickets by February 28th and take advantage of loyalty pricing. You'll pay the same price you paid in 2016, and also for the first time ever, the Jags are offering priority purchasing opportunities for concerts at Daly's Place. This in addition to great benefits like teal deals and exclusive season ticket member events. For more information, call 904-633-2000. We're off and rolling on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
There was nowhere else I wanted to be, so it really meant a lot to me when Jags reached out and said, we want to hurry up and get this done early. So as soon as they said that, I jumped right on it, and I was ready to get the paper signed. To me, I feel like the team is going to move forward. I mean, I feel like last year was a fluke. We had too much talent to have that type of record. I think everyone's going to come in this year seeing as that year should have never happened, and we're going to, you know, repay the city for what they wanted.
Avery Jones, defensive tackle, locked into a four-year deal, reported $16 million. Part of a three signing day for the Jags yesterday. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli. Your calls coming up. 355-NFL-1. Avery Jones back in the middle and played well after Roy Miller went down. You know, there were some questions about, hey, how's this run defense going to happen? Roy's the anchor in the middle, but Avery played well.
I was never concerned. Never. I thought even at times last year going back to 2015 – that Avery Jones played better than Roy Miller at times. And I think this year, I think Avery Jones took his level of play to another level. And I think I can say with confidence that I think right now that Avery Jones is better than Roy Miller. And I'm not saying by, you know, if Roy's a 7, Avery's a 9 or a 10. I mean, it's close. But Avery can do more of different things. He moves better. He has the ability to pass rush better. He can play a strong side end spot. He can play a 3 technique. Roy Miller is a nose tackle and a nose tackle alone.
Right.
And Avery Jones can do more, and I think he can do the nose better than Roy.
Roy's a very good nose.
Nose. I was going to say, I would disagree with Jeff. I don't think Avery was better than Roy in 15. I think Roy Miller was.
No, in 16 he was. I didn't say 15.
I don't think he was as good. I don't think it was close. I thought there was a drop-off. And I thought Avery Jones in 15 was a guy who could play spot plays. He did have more versatility. Just right about that. He can play more positions. There's no doubt about that. I was worried when Roy got hurt this year because I think Roy is a really good hold, you know, eat up a double team, keep guys off linebackers, and not get moved off his spot. He's good down the line if you watch him chasing down the line. And I was worried about Avery being able to take the load and the volume that he was going to have to take because there wasn't a lot of depth and there wasn't a lot of guys backing him up that you had a lot of confidence in. So I was worried about him stepping up. Where I agree with Jeff, he did. And he ended up way outperforming what I thought he would. And he started becoming every bit as good as Roy Miller, different than Roy Miller, and able to do a lot of things, like Jeff said, and because of the versatility, maybe more valuable than Roy Miller because of the different positions he can play. And I was really impressed of what he did when he was given the opportunity to start. I thought he had a great year, and I think it was a good signing and good to keep him. I would like to see Roy back if he's healthy. It's tough to come back off an Achilles at his age in his position. We'll see.
What's amazing, though, is that guys have come back from that more so recently.
Well, the rehab and the technology, everything's so much better. Because I think Roy's a really good one technique, hold the point, eat up blocks. I mean, as good as anybody doing that. Now, Avery has more versatility. He's younger, quicker, more athletic, and all those things, without a doubt.
Younger, quicker, more athletic, and has got a worse body.
Yeah, he's not going to win the all-body team.
No, he's. I mean, he's not John Yurkovic from back in the old days. I mean, but
– it's not good.
He ain't much better than that.
Ain't good.
You know, but that bad body can play football.
Yeah.
And it can move, and it can – great feet, good hands.
Quick,
good
strong.
Quickness.
So if it came down to it, and Roy's healthy and ready to go, he still has a spot on the team, Roy Miller.
Well, I don't know. You got to look. You know, if he's what he was last year, I think, yeah, I mean, you'd like to have that. But at the same time, if you're Todd Wash and you're starting to build out, okay, what's your game day rotation, the more versatility, the better, because the question that, you know, Dave and Tom are going to ask, all right, well, who are we going to have up for 53? What role are they going to play, and what's the versatility? And it all depends on Roy's health as well. And what do you do in free agency? What do you do during the draft? Remember, there were some questions last year, and it was because of injuries that it made it easier. But Michael Bennett comes back.
That's
I thought
true.
He flashed during the preseason and doing stuff. I know Jeff's not as crazy about him. You know, you got Sheldon Day. I think he's limited as a one-gap three technique guy just because of his size. But he does give you some explosiveness. And then, you know, what are you going to do with Jared Odrick? I mean, we still haven't got clarity on that. I mean, we know Jeff's vote for that. And
we know.
And you got free agents, you got college draft. You know, so it's a numbers game. I definitely want Roy back in camp, and I think if he's 100% healthy, I think he creates great value.
Yeah, I think you bring him back. You know, I think the good thing is, first of all, he's under contract.
Yeah, so why? I mean,
you know, so you got no risk to keep him and evaluate and see
where
he's
at. You don't have to make a bonus decision.
No, I mean, that's, you know, look, you're going to have him, and then until somebody proves that they can play better than him or whatever, you know, whatever else happened. But I mean, I think he's back. I mean, Todd Wash loves Roy Miller. I mean, loves Roy Miller, and rightly so. I mean, he's a stout. I mean, look, go talk to Paul Posluszny and Telvin Smith. How good Roy Miller is as a nose technique to where he can eat up two guys to allow them to run around and make tackles all the time. You know, but Avery's, like Tony was saying and I was saying, is that he's different. Avery's different. He moves better. He gets off of blocks better. He makes more plays himself, whereas Roy helps others make more plays. It's kind of a different type player. But if you can keep both of those guys, great, fantastic. But now, what you need to do now is – you need to find some three techniques, you know, because, you know, you got Malik Jackson, who had a good year last year. And here's a question I have with him going forward. Is he going to play the same spot, you know, or does he play strong side end, you know, which is kind of what he played in Denver, you know. So, you know, when you have a change of the staff and a change of the boss, everything is up for conversation, everything. And that's good. I mean, sometimes that's the best thing to have happen. Get another set of eyes, another set of ears, another opinion in the room. You know, but I think one thing is very apparent. They've got some talent up front. But there's some talent that I think there are some question marks with. Sendarek Marks, I think there's a question mark with him. I think there's a question mark with Jared Odrick. And then somewhat with Roy Miller, just from a health standpoint. So those three guys, I mean, in the offseason, I think you're going to kind of sit back and go, okay, what's going to happen next for those three?
Chad Henne had a restructured contract that he signed yesterday as well. Jaguars back.
Anybody get any details on that?
I'm looking for them right now, and I have not seen them come out, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
because last year or early in, did he sign
like $3 million a year or something like that to be a backup? And you know, I'm okay with letting him come in and compete. You know, as long as that contract that he signed doesn't say he's the backup.
No, the way I understood it, what I read is there's nothing holding the Jaguars back from making a decision in training camp to go
I'm okay with
to
that.
Go a different direction.
I'm okay with that. Because, you know, my whole kind of opinion on that was, is that, look, you know, you kind of know where you are with Chad. You got Brandon Allen. Bring somebody else in to compete and then go from there and move on from Chad Henne, because I think you know what he is. And, you know, he's a good backup, and, you know, at least that's what people think about him. But this team, I don't think, is at the point where you're worried about good backups. You're looking for competition position.
Let me tell you what I think about that.
What do you think about it, Tony?
I don't care. He's the backup quarterback. Like Chad. Wish Chad the best. Great guy. Great guy. But can we stop talking about the backup quarterback?
Yeah, but Chad, that's the whole point.
That's my whole point.
You need
stop
to get
talking
away,
about it.
You need to get away from having a backup quarterback. You need to get to the point where you have a quarterback in and let the competition roll.
How about we just have
the quarterback?
How about
and
we just talk about
guy.
The franchise quarterback, yeah. And then we'll worry about the other
what
guy.
What franchise quarterback?
That's my point. Let's get to that. Let's get there.
And that's why I'm saying to get there, you don't sign backup quarterback.
That's why we stop talking about it. Okay. Maybe if we stop talking about it, they'll get to figure it out over there.
Franchise guy, a backup guy, and a couple of camp arms. That's what you need.
Yeah, you need competition.
Aurelius Ben, that fantastic story continues. He signed a new deal with the Jaguars. Special teamer, for the most part, had the game-winning touchdown in Chicago last year. The slip and fall and then the get up and run faster than everybody else.
Top former, play of the year.
Former second-round pick of the Bucks a long time ago.
I don't think it was the top
ago.
Play of the year.
No,
the third
one of the
best
top
play
one, yeah.
On Jaguars.com, by the way. That came out the other day, so checked out the top 10 countdown. But Aurelius Ben has some value around here. Obviously, the Jaguars thought so.
What kind of deal they signed to? Was it reported?
I think it was a one-year deal.
Yeah, maybe an option after that.
Well, yeah, one-year deal with an option, which means it wasn't for a ton of money. Which, you know what, that's good. I mean, he's a
guy that missed three or four years.
Well, he's a good backup wide receiver. He's got size, and which means when you have size as a wide receiver, he can be a core four guy, which is a special teams contributor. Can play kickoff return, punt return. You know, a lot of backup wide receivers. Rashad Greene, if Rashad Greene doesn't find a role as a returner, what value will he have? Not much. Not much at all.
Nope.
Unless he starts playing wide receiver better. You know, I mean, look, if you play wide receiver and if you're not one of the top three guys, you have to contribute on special teams. You know, and that's why Aurelius Ben fits that mold once you get past three, because – he's good on special teams. He has size to play special teams. And when he does play wide receiver, he's been pretty productive.
We'll come back and talk a little more about the backup quarterback just for Tony. No, I'm kidding.
Good.
Of course, we won't do that.
Great, exciting stuff.
We won't do that. We'll go around the league a little later as well. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Banged up, it's hard to play at a high level, and especially when you have so many talented athletes and people that can play at a high level. So people don't know, but you know, once you get hurt, especially during the season, it's hard to fully recover because you have a game every single week. So a lot of guys play injured the whole year, and people don't know. People may think they're underperforming, but they could just be dealing with a certain injury, and that's really hard to deal with. Coming into the league, I had an unfortunate situation which I really couldn't control, but the following year and my third year this past year, I'm starting to learn how to take care of my body and the things that I need to do personally, because everybody's different. And I'm starting to figure out what I need to do in order to stay on the field longer.
Aaron Colvin, cornerback from Jaguars.com Live Wednesday. Check out the archive on the official team website.
I think that's a little self-promotion there, isn't it?
Jaguars.com. Yes, yeah. It might be. You can also watch this program on Jaguars.com and the Jags app.
Aaron Colvin.
Yes.
Is talking about himself, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Being injured this past year because, you know, we expected him to be able to take a step up. Had the suspension for the first four games. Comes back.
Had an ankle injury late.
Yeah, and then we never really saw him take his game to another level. And I like Aaron Colvin. I like him. First of all, I like him personally. And number two, I like him professionally. I think he's a good football player. But I don't think we've seen the best of Aaron Colvin yet. I think there's a lot more skill set or a higher level of skill set that we can see from him that we haven't seen yet, and hopefully we'll see some of that this year.
Yeah, part of that, he just hasn't been on the field a lot. He had 15 games 2 years ago. Remember, he missed, what, 10 games his rookie year with the knee injury coming off that and played the final six, and then, as you said, missed those games last year. So got to stay on the field. It's year four, contract year for him, too.
Well, that's all the more reason. Look, yeah. If you're a player, look at Kelvin Beachum, right? Injured, not playing, kind of exactly what Aaron Colvin's talking about, but from a contractual standpoint, you got to be – first of all, you'd like to have 2 years back-to-back to where you can say, okay, last year I wasn't just playing to a certain level because I knew it was my contract year. If you put 2 years back-to-back, that really kind of solidifies your spot to get a significant payday. Aaron Colvin has a great opportunity to, first of all, to gather play time because, Prince Mukamura's contract is up. They don't know who the starter on the other side is going to be, and I'm sure he's going to be allowed to compete for that.
Listen, it's great for the Jaguars. You've got a guy motivated. Contract year, it's always – sometimes it gets viewed as a negative. Oh, it's a contract year. We're going to see his best. We don't really know what type of player is. Well, guess what? It is his contract year. Let's take advantage of it.
Yeah, we'll use his best. Sure.
How about the players, though, that give you the spiel about, it's contract year, and I want to make sure that I get a contract so I can focus on football.
What?
You hear that sometimes, right? Don't you? They get upset because they're going into a contract year and it's become a distraction.
Better focus more now than ever, baby.
What's wrong with going into a contract year with an opportunity to play really well
and make a lot of money
and then get paid?
Aaron Colvin's a good player. He did not have a great year last year. Injury, suspension, all the such. Right now we've seen him play nickel more than anything. That's what we know he's good at. It'd be interesting to see if he can play outside.
I thought he was going to compete for a corner spot this past year.
But yeah. I think he might have, Jeff.
He was playing well in camp,
without the suspension.
All that stuff.
The suspension kind of set him back.
Yeah, because he was –
And drafting Jalen Ramsey.
That changed things a little bit.
That changed the
but even after that, in camp and preseason, Thursday he was playing pretty well.
Thursday night of the draft, we knew that Jalen was going to be one of the starting corners.
That was pretty easy to figure out. Now, do you bring Prince back?
Let's see what the market is going to be.
I let him test free agency.
No, because he's not the only guy out there. The guy in Houston,
AJ
Boye is a very good football player.
Would you spend the money that it probably is going to take to get Boye and say, listen, we have our two corners for the next? You have two number one corners at that point.
Or do you look at drafting a guy?
With the fourth overall pick?
Maybe.
Back to back years and corners?
Yeah, I don't know. If it's the best player. I'm hoping Jonathan Allen's there. I know we're not talking draft yet, but I'm hoping he somehow slips
down. Roll Tide,
Tony.
We talk a little draft. I watched him on film today now.
He's really good. It's film season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, he's not very good, is he?
Oh, my God. He had this play, and JP remembers it.
We're talking about Jonathan Allen.
Yeah, Jonathan Allen, the defensive end for
Alabama. He's not going to be there for it.
But he's not going to be I don't think he's going to be a defensive end in the NFL. He's going to be probably a three technique. Yeah. But Alabama, they play him kind of that strong side 4B.
He plays 3-4.
Yeah, that strong side 4B defensive end, which, he plays 3 technique too when they go 4 down. And who was it against, JP, Texas A&M?
Texas A&M, they had a freshman left guard lined up against him.
Wanted to quit?
This guard was giving him all he could do, and Jonathan Allen literally swatted him to the outside. He came underneath. The running back is there to pick him up. And the running back makes a smart decision. I'm going to cut him. Well, he does Superman over the top of the running back.
Oh, I've seen it.
And gets a sack.
Yeah.
I was going, whoa, hit the reverse button, hit slow motion button, watch it about 3 times. That was phenomenal play. Phenomenal play.
It was in a sequence where A&M went backwards like 3-4 plays in a row. The defense was rolling.
He is a great player. He's actually – from my hometown area.
We can't be bad then. Come on.
Well, it doesn't mean anything, neither here nor there, but he actually played at a high school that wasn't even in existence when I grew up there. It's called Stonebridge High School.
Well, you're almost 50, so it's a long time
ago. Yeah, and their head coach is a guy that went to my high school. His name is Mickey Thompson. And I've heard from friends of mine that know Mickey, that coach with him or whatever, there has been nothing but super positive things said about him as a young man.
Have you watched Myles Garrett yet?
Yeah.
From A&M also.
I haven't watched him
yet. He has he has – I don't know if he has the same consistent motor as Jonathan Allen, but he has the ability to bend athletically like you haven't seen before. And he's strong. You know, it's not just a bend with quickness or speed. It's bend, strength, speed. He's got it all. You know, the knock on him is that he takes certain plays off. But, look, you know, Jonathan Allen at Alabama is rotating with probably seven or eight guys.
Bring in some more five-star guys.
Whereas Miles Garrett is not rotating. He's on the field, and he's on the field for the entire game.
Now, did you watch whole games of them or just their
No, I watched all plays involved, you know, the, which basically compiles. If they're around the ball, then the play gets put on the film.
Yep.
And it was fun to watch him now because, you know, I don't watch a lot of college football. And watching him, he does things – that, you know, we talked about Joey Bosa last year and how great technician with his hands. He's got great motor. Does he have a super high ceiling? Probably not because.
Yeah, we might have been wrong with that one.
Well, I mean, we thought he was going to be a good player, and I think the comparison that I threw out there was Trace Armstrong, who
is a very good player.
Really good football player consistently for Chicago Bears after being their first-round draft pick in 1989. I mean, he played for a decade and had 100-and-something career sacks. I mean, that's not putting a bad label on a guy.
Yeah, sure.
But I always thought that the ceiling for Bosa was a little limited, whereas you look at a Miles Garrett and see what kind of physical abilities that he has, and I would say that his ceiling is higher than Joey Bosa, but will the consistency and the instant impact be there because Bosa's such a technician with his hands and et cetera, whereas Garrett's just being a superhuman athlete.
Bosa was an advanced pass rusher, skill set wise, where Garrett's a better athlete.
No chance Garrett's getting the four, by the way.
He's got strength. Oh, he's got strength. He's got a spin. He's got speed.
I don't think Allen or Garrett get the four.
Nope. I don't think so. It's possible. If either one of them get the four, take them.
Let's come back and go around the National Football League. One more segment to go. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Brunell will work from the shotgun. He's got Barlow, Moore, and Jimmy Smith. Damon Shelton's back with him in the shotgun, calling the signals, takes the snap, drops to throw. Steps up into the pocket, wants to run. There he goes at the 40, and he gets a block, but the ball is free on the turf, and the Bengals have it. Artrell Hawkins is at the 30. He's at the 25. Baselli giving chase, grabs him at the 15, and maybe, yeah, right there, 15 is where they'll put him out of bounds. Brunell was hit from behind the ball. He is coughed up and free, and Artrell Hawkins, the rookie, picks it up and goes down the sideline.
Well, Mark started to scramble. They had the angles on him. He tried to cut up, and when he did, he slowed up and got hit from behind. He had not protected the ball, and the ball shot out. Hawkins picks it up. Tony Baselli shows great speed for 330 pounds, getting down the sideline and catching a 190-pounder, Brian.
A blast from the past. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Tony Baselli with a touchdown saving tackle. And then what? The next play later was a fumble return the other way, right?
Aaron Beasley fumbled. Aaron Beasley picked it up, took it to the house.
Wow. What a swing right there. Well done. Way to go. Way to not give up.
What year was that, Joe?
It was like 97, right? I believe. 98.
1998.
So we found the play. Took us
and that was you were actually faster back in like 96, and so I mean you were actually not at your height of your speed there.
I ran him down, baby.
That was post knee and everything else.
You really 330?
325.
330, he said.
Yeah, he's wrong. I'm gonna tell you.
It's awesome to hear. Hey, let's go around the National Football League, and we start with some news that kind of started to leak out this afternoon about Darrell Revis. He was back in his hometown of Pittsburgh visiting some family on the south side of town. And it depends on which TV station you believe in Pittsburgh. Either he was jumped by five people.
You know, first of all, let me say this, JP.
He punched two people.
Do we believe the news anymore?
Fake news?
No, I don't know. Yeah, alternative facts, all that stuff.
What do you got? Differing reports.
Either he punched two guys and sent them both to the hospital, or he was assaulted by a group of five
and
had to go to the hospital himself.
Maybe they are.
If he got jumped
by
five guys and he knocked out two of them before they got him. And
that's pretty good.
Went to the hospital.
That's pretty good.
Right. So that all kind of is come out this afternoon. So let's follow that one over the next week or so and see what happens. This happened a little while back. I know you're going to be all over that one. I know. How about this? The Chargers, you know, they're going to play in a tiny stadium next
year. StubHub, 30,000.
30,000. The average price of a ticket, non-premium ticket for that venue, will be $192.
Per game.
Per game.
But there are some tickets that are, you know, they got the variable pricing. So, I mean, there are some of them that are affordable. But, I mean, overall, the average you're talking about the average ticket price.
Ticket price, non-premium seat, 190. It's the highest in the league. Second most expensive, the Bears, $135 a game.
Yeah, they're way – I mean, they have to price them because they're basically saying there's a small supply, so the demand will be high, which I'm not sure it will be. Here's the risk that the – we've talked about it. I think it's a terrible business decision for the NFL to allow the Spanos to move to L.A. L.A. does not need two NFL teams. It needs one. That's it. At most, one team. Here's the real risk. Chargers are bad.
Ooh.
And they have a half-full StubHub field or stadium, whatever it is. So you have
15,000 seats, though.
I'm just telling you right
now.
You
can
now. Do that. JP, I'm
LA's bad. A different bird.
Just tell JP, JP, I played in L.A.
Empty.
Played the Rams out there. Played the Raiders out there.
Where you could yell across the stadium at each other because it was so empty.
It can be really bad in L.A.
Hey, plus they're two different stadiums, so they could both be playing at the same time. So everybody's probably going to go to the Rams.
Yeah, but I'm sure they'll try to,
go to the Rams,
coordinate it to where they're going to make sure they're not both playing on the same Sunday.
Did you see the fact that the Rams last year, after this is their inaugural season where everyone's excited that they're there, the last couple games the Coliseum was half empty.
There was a tumbleweed that came through one of the grandstands.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Did you guys also
– also in this, but while we're still in this real quick, the Jaguars' average price for a non-premium ticket, $61.36, the lowest in the league.
So $130 cheaper.
This is from Team Marketing Report.
Did you guys also see that there was a San Diego businessman or something that sent the NFL a proposal about building a stadium, privately financed stadium in San Diego recently?
For the Chargers?
After the, you know, the Chargers are already gone.
So for the Raiders.
But, I mean, to bring another NFL franchise to San Diego.
Because the Vegas stuff's starting to kind of crumble away.
That's
now,
why
right?
that this guy has stepped up, and I'm not exactly sure. But it's all privately financed, and I don't know what kind of a expectation he has from the team or the NFL, you know, in that relationship. But that news also came out within the last week. I'm just disappointed that – like Tony said, look.
Why didn't it happen before?
The Chargers need to be in San Diego.
That's right.
L.A. does not need two teams.
No.
I played when the Rams were there, played when the Raiders were there, and I don't think I ever played in a stadium that was more than 50% full ever in L.A., ever.
Lee Steinberg, the agent, has a new client.
Yeah. Vince Young.
Vince Young wants to come back and play some football at the age of 33.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders are giving him a tryout.
They need a guy.
Arena still in? Arena?
No, or no, that's the Canadian League.
No, but is the arena of teams still around?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's where he's going to have to go.
Or CFL.
Yeah, Canadian. CFL, yeah. Arena, you know, NFL Europe.
There's no such thing anymore, my friend.
I'm like, NFL Europe, did that start up last week?
Wow. So yeah, not much of a chance in the NFL.
No. I don't think I think he realizes that.
How about this? Ex-Falcons receiver Roddy White was speaking out about some Super Bowl play calling at the end by Kyle Shanahan. Here's the quote: "I'm glad I wasn't a part of that team because I probably, literally, would have fought him." Talking about Shanahan,
they did not get along.
Right,
they didn't like each other last
year.
And
he's not on the dang team anymore. Who cares what he says, right?
Well, he does.
Obviously, somebody enough to interview him.
Apparently so.
And he didn't like Kyle Shanahan, and I don't think Kyle Shanahan liked him, and they had their
– First of all, let me say this. Roddy White would have loved to have been on that team.
Yes.
Okay.
That's – yeah.
Just to get a paycheck.
Exactly. Because Roddy White would still like to play.
And he'd get a paycheck.
And he'd get a real good paycheck. And he would have gotten playoff checks, which
more paycheck.
He would have been very thankful
of. Checks for everybody.
And would have been on arguably the best team he's ever played on with the Atlanta Falcons.
Only one that got the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sometimes as an ex-player, you just need to know when to not talk.
That would have been a pretty
even
good
if you're
time.
Right. I'm not saying Roddy's right. I mean, I think everyone's kind of had questions about the play calling at the end of the game. But what does it do for you? What does it accomplish? Doesn't
makes you look like a disgruntled ex-player.
Yeah, it just doesn't make you look good.
The Dolphins did a little work today. Now we've talked about Albert, but now they're saying he's not cut. There's some trade interest, possibly. Mario Williams is cut, though. Kyle Mitchell as well.
Earl Mitchell.
Earl, I'm sorry. Any interest in those two?
Earl Mitchell will get picked up by somebody. He can still play. He came back from an injury and played last year. Mario Williams is probably done. If he wants to play again, it's going to be a one-year prove-it deal.
Veteran minimum.
By somebody that's going to give him the minimum round in the National Football League. Because you know what? He talked a big game when he went to Miami and said that, you know, because he was getting questions about his effort in Buffalo, which his effort was questionable. There's not even a debate on that. And when he gets to Miami, he says, oh, yeah, I'm playing. They were misused me in Buffalo and has all these other excuses for the way he played in Buffalo. And he goes to Miami. What did he have, a sack and a half last year?
Yep, one and a half.
You know? And if Mario Williams ever played to his potential, there's no telling how good he could have been. But he never played hard. Consistently, he never reached his potential. And it wasn't on scheme. It wasn't on how he was utilized. It was on him. Simple.
And now he's got his retirement to think about that.
He made a lot of money, so he'll be fine.
Yeah,
he
made a ton of money.
He'll be okay. Don't worry about him.
Not worried about him. We mentioned Bouye. Do you make a run? Depends on the number, what the market can bear for.
That's going to be a big number. That's going to be a really big number.
Okay.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
8, 9, 10 plus a year.
But why you might be open to it is you have Jalen on his rookie deal.
Portable.
For 4 more years.
Because
you have the 3 more, then you can lock him up for a 5th. And really, you can franchise him the 6 years, so you can keep him for another 5 years with no risk of losing him.
But the franchise number for a corner is probably going to be fairly high, right?
Who cares?
It doesn't matter at that point
if he's
that good.
Yeah. My point of saying that is go sign Bouye to a 5-year deal. You got one affordable corner, one high price corner, both number ones.
And then when the low price corner becomes high price,
get rid of Bouye and draft another one.
That's why when you talk about draft picks
and hitting on the draft so important,
why the draft is so valuable and so important, because if you're hitting on draft picks, it means you can have a lower level of paid roster players so that you can afford to pay and others in free agency, and also the ones that do get to the point where their contract is expired and they become very valuable where you got to pay them more.
So I'd go after Bouye.
It's your cheap labor. I mean, that's the reality. The draft is cheap labor. So you don't just bring in cheap labor for cheap labor. The important thing is to get cheap labor that plays well. Then you can be consistently successful.
You saw I'd make a run at Bouye.
If you got a quarterback.
Yeah, we got all this cap room.
There's cap room everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sign. The other thing you got to look at this offseason, though, is what you're going to do with Allen Robinson. I think you make a run at signing him. This offseason.
Well, he signed Allen Hurns last year. Right?
Yeah.
You know it's going to start at Allen Hurns. That's the starting point in the negotiations.
That's not even the start, Jeff. It's way beyond that.
Yeah.
That's another one you got to look at.
Yeah. Marquise Lee.
I'd let Marquise play another year.
The back-to-back year thing that you were talking about. It'd be nice to have 2 healthy years and
He's got to show consistent level of health.
Yep. By the way, congrats to the Shatley family. Tyler Shatley, his wife Natalie, welcomed a baby boy last week. Boone.
A baby
has
boy
joined us.
Might have a beard.
Boone Shatley.
Mike, congratulations. Hey, we'll see you guys next week.
Can't wait.
It sounds like you can't wait.
Looking forward to it, JP.
Tony Vaselli, Jeff Loggeman, Hollywood Hockman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching and listening. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.